This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Recently, we heard from sociologist Matthew Desmond about his book, Evicted, Poverty and Profit in the American City. It's the Kalamazoo Public Library's selection for this year's Reading Together program. We're going to discuss the policy around housing with Western Michigan University political science professor Susan Hoffman. Among her teaching interests are urban politics and public policy, and Hoffman previously worked as a city planner, as well as in neighborhood planning and housing rehabilitation. Susan, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Gordon.
If you were trying to define the problem we have with affordable housing in the United States as succinctly as you could, how would you describe it?
I would say that housing affordability is about a market, and a market has folks who need housing, and it has housing units available. And the housing units that are out there are not affordable to vast numbers of U.S. families these days. If we look at the way HUD defines some of these problems, there are 20 million households who are classified as very low income. There are some technical terms here, but HUD talks about 20 million households being very low income. And the number of federally subsidized units that are available that would be affordable to people whose incomes are that low is 5 million, right? So there's a huge gap between the number of people who are very low income and housing available to them. And that doesn't even begin to talk about, you know, moderately low income people who need housing. So there's not enough affordable housing out there.
What are some of the various remedies which are available to people, although they may be lacking and they may not help enough people? What are some of the various ways that people can get help?
Mm-hmm. Well, focusing on the subsidized programs that the federal government has available, which is the biggest set. There are some programs that are available from the states and from localities. These things differ from one state to another and one locality to another, and typically those will be assisting people who are not at that very low income place. The federal programs that try to reach very low income people are three. Right, there's the Housing Choice Voucher, which is a voucher that is awarded to individual households that are looking for an apartment in the private market, right? There is project-based subsidized housing. In that case, the apartment developments or other housing is owned by private, nonprofit, or for-profit organizations, and the federal government ties a subsidy to that building, right? And the third solution that's offered at the federal level, which is the one that I have the most familiarity with and am involved with now, is public housing. Public housing is housing that is owned by a local public housing authority. A public housing authority is a special purpose local government, like a school district, established under the laws of the particular states with the cooperation of the locality. So this is housing that's owned by the public housing authority, and it is available to very low-income folks in your community.
If we look across Michigan, what's the availability of public housing? How many public housing authorities are there out there?
Sure. We have over 100 public housing authorities here in Michigan. 115 of them offer low-income apartments, own low-income apartments. Those public housing authorities, you might not recognize them in your community. You may see these apartment buildings and not realize that these are owned by the public and the rents are kept in a level that are affordable for very low-income people. Here in Michigan, of those 115 public housing authorities that offer public housing, about half of them have less than 100 apartments to offer. You know, another 36% are in the range of 100 to 200 apartments that they offer. So these are small public agencies, but in the communities that are fortunate enough to have them, they're providing affordable housing for really low-income people.
But does public housing have a reputation problem?
Oh, my. Yes. Yes. Right. I talk about public housing with my undergraduate students, right? And recently, one of my students said to me, are you talking about the projects? And well, yes, we are talking about the projects. I talk about public housing with some of my colleagues here at Western Michigan University, and they say, are you talking about Pruitt-Igoe? And I say, well, yes, Pruitt-Igoe was public housing.
Which was in St. Louis, correct?
Yes, yes. Pruitt-Igoe is the epitome of failed public housing. It was built in the 1950s, and it was demoed in the 1970s. And that demolition, actually, the first building was imploded on national television. So yes, public housing has a reputation problem. Why? Some of it was very poorly managed, right? We have 3,000 public housing authorities in the United States. And some of them manage the housing very poorly. In the case of maybe some of the really small ones, they just didn't have the capacity. In the case of some of the really large ones, Chicago comes to mind. There was both poor management and political corruption involved. And so it is a reputation for failure that's well-deserved by a few public housing authorities. And they have tarnished it for most of the public housing authorities that are laboring under difficult circumstances to provide decent apartments for really low-income people.
Does some of the view of public housing get skewed by race?
Yeah, I think so. There was a time in the history of public housing when in some of the big public housing authorities, some of them, we achieved very high concentrations of African-American people, right? And that happened for a couple of reasons. Sometimes it was deliberate, right, on the part of the public housing authority to segregate African-Americans. Chicago comes to mind again, selecting locations that they could kind of isolate from the rest of the community and segregate African-American folks. Another rationale for what happened, the extent that some of the big city public housing authorities became so racially segregated, was that the Great Migration continued, right, into the big cities, into the 50s and into the 60s. And as we get into the 60s, folks are still coming into the big cities, right? But the manufacturing jobs have left. And along with the manufacturing jobs, the white families that lived in public housing left and went out to the suburbs. Well, those housing opportunities in the developing suburbs were not open to African American families due to discrimination in the housing market.
But you also have pointed out there are success stories mm-hmm. with public housing. Do you think that they have some things in common? If you were looking for the public housing authorities where they're doing things right, could you find some commonalities? Or could you also maybe say that they specifically tailored their programs to the area they were serving?
Yeah, what accounts for success in public housing, right? One of the things that accounts for success is professional public management, right? Capacity, having people who know how to work with that. A second factor that some researchers have found accounts for success is active involvement by the residents, right? Resident involvement maybe on the Board of Commissioners, resident associations that communicate what they need. And a third factor that some scholars have pointed to is, in fact, bipartisan politics, right? Chicago was machine politics, one-party politics, and Chicago didn't do well. New York City Housing Authority, the largest public housing authority in the U.S., offering housing for 400,000 people in 188,000 apartments, is widely recognized as being among the very best of the public housing authorities in terms of meeting people's needs. Well, there's very active two-party politics in New York City and in New York State. So those are some of the factors that have been identified.
I suppose that people hear public housing and they do think Chicago. They might think St. Louis and maybe New York. But can you also find places in smaller cities where public housing has worked and has been run successfully?
Sure. I mean, I want to point to Michigan again, right? I was recently in one of the public housing estates in Lansing, and they really seem to be doing a very nice job there. You know, my observation is a little bit superficial. I was inside a building. It was beautifully kept. The facilities were nice. I was out on the street. You know, children were riding bicycles, and parents were standing around. chatting. Lansing has about 800 units that they offer for folks in five different developments. So that's a smaller city. Then, of course, here in Michigan, as I mentioned before, you get down to cities as small as St. Joseph, Michigan has a public housing apartment building. I think a nice building available for seniors and disabled folks.
Who are the people that end up being served by public housing, by and large, demographically here? Who are we talking about? And recognizing that we're probably not going to be on one group, but, is there, again, some common things that we can find amongst people who end up being served by public housing?
Sure. Well, first of all, folks who are served by public housing are largely low income, right? Very low income folks. There are eligibility requirements for being able to get an apartment. So we're talking about very low income folks in our communities. If we look at all of the people who are served by public housing in U.S., right, something under 40% of them, maybe about 38%, are adults with children in their homes. Another third of them are elderly low income folks. Something like about 18 or 20% of the people are disabled folks, right, who need either physical or developmental disabilities, and they're also very low income. And then there's a small percentage that would be single adults and not elderly.
So you gave a presentation at the University of Pennsylvania on public housing, and one of the things you said is bring back the bureaucrats.
Yes, I did.
If there is a term that maybe has more negative connotations than public housing, bureaucrat may be it. Why do you, though, say we need to bring back the bureaucrats?
Right. And I was playing precisely with those really negative connotations that we have for public housing and for bureaucrats. Public housing is managed by little staffs of professional people, right? People work for these public housing authorities. And that's a perfect question. It links up to my concern about the capacity of the public housing authorities. So bring back the bureaucrats means bring back enough resources to retain and enhance capacity in those little public housing agencies that are providing this service in the community. We need capacity to manage the challenges of continuing to provide low-income housing or spinning off our estates to private, nonprofit or for-profit organizations that will continue to provide low-income housing. We need capacity out there. And this is not to disparage in any way the fine people who are working, in those agencies. We just need more help.
Might it be the case that if this problem of housing affordability is going to be solved, there might have to be more public housing, but there might have to be other solutions as well. Might there be an array here of things that might be available to families that depend on where they live and their circumstances, income, et cetera?
Yes. Yeah, there's no question about it. And in advocating for the preservation of public housing, which, is what I'm doing, I am not in any way suggesting that we don't need to keep our toolkit full. We need as much housing choice voucher assistance as can be provided. We need as much project-based assistance as can be available. I think that it would be helpful for localities to better understand what's going on. Some do, right? We always want to be careful about making criticisms in a general way, but it would be a good thing if our localities would better understand the needs, and there can be some local funding for housing difficulties. Here in Kalamazoo County, we have that tiny millage that was recently voted by folks who live here to help people who are in very, very difficult conditions. So localities can do some things, states can do some things, if we bring these issues to the awareness of public officials at those levels.
Susan Hoffman is a political science professor at Western Michigan University. She has previously worked as a city planner and also in neighborhood planning and housing rehabilitation. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.